Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. Doing everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, yeah. Don't put them by, let us unite, grab our life. Oh, it's a beautiful day, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
Teaching on a strategy for victory, and that's going to be given by none other than Pastor Steve Lee. So I encourage you, please, please, if you're listening, if you're tuning in out there, please call us at area code 646-378-1857 if you wanted to give commentary after the broadcast. But I do encourage you to go ahead and grab pen and paper and take good notes as we get ready to go forth with tonight's teaching on part two of a strategy for victory. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again, Brother Mike. And if you would, let's just pray and go ahead and get started for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name. Beloved, I use that prayer. God gave it to me because it's not just words that I rehearse. It's words that I believe. It's my communication vow to God so that he can do what's necessary in our lives in this time. It's not just a religious exercise with me. It was some of the words that God gave me, a strategy, if you would, for victory. The Bible gives us many strategies for victory, but they all must include Jesus as Lord. You know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says that there is no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. See, Jesus is the main strategy that God gave for victory. Because if we would walk as he walks, follow me as I follow Christ, if we would walk as he walked, we would enjoy the victories that he has left for us. You all know the story of Hansel and Gretel, and they were trying to make sure they can get back to a specific place, so they left breadcrumbs. Well, beloved, let me tell you, success leaves a trail. It leaves crumbs, if you would. And Jesus came and walked out victory in every area of our life, and then he left us the word. He left us a trail. He left us the crumbs, if you would, that would allow us. And I need to arrest in your thinking that, you know, that was Jesus, and I'm just a, here's our phrase, how we draw back unto perdition so quickly. That was Jesus, and I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, beloved, you are not just a sinner saved by grace. And if you use the saved by grace part, understand that grace is sufficient. He did not say that the grace that we've been called into is insufficient. He said grace is sufficient. It was sufficient to cause Jesus to be able to taste death and win over death. Those are the crumbs that he left for us. And when I say crumbs, I don't mean small things. I mean things that will give us sustenance till we get to the place of victory. Okay? It's here a little, there a little. In my understanding, that would be crumbs. Okay? Just so that we get this, beloved, if this is what happened at Calvary, one drop, as soon as one drop of blood hit the ground, our healing was purchased. One drop of blood. See, it didn't take gallons, beloved. It does not take something to be done over and over again in the spirit. When we do things over and over again, that's so that we can rehearse it in our ears. We can rehearse it in our thinking. We can rehearse it before our eyes. It's not so that God can now have enough power because you said it 27 times. When you say, in Jesus' name, amen, that thing is settled. The challenge is, we don't believe it that way. And so then we don't understand that the first strategy for victory is Jesus. Jesus said things like this at Lazarus' tomb. He said, I'm so glad that my Father, you always hear me. But for the ones that's around him now, for those that would hear this word, I'm speaking this into their hearing. See, it wasn't he wasn't saying it to convince himself. Otherwise, he would not have said, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. And notice that after he said, I know you hear me, the next words that he said was not, oh, Father, please help me. The next words that he said were, Lazarus, come forth. And he didn't say, hey, buddy, I hope you can hear me, and I think it's time for us to do something. No, he said, no, I know God hears me. That's settled. Now I give commands. I release the faith that I've already deposited in my heart by hearing the word over and over again, because faith comes by hearing. Okay. When you speak the word, beloved, you have to then hear it, because your ear canal is attached to your throat. That's why when you have colds and infections and things like that, you have trouble with your hearing and your throat. They're connected. Okay? So then what I would like for you to do is to understand that the victory is in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He did not say, and there might be a victory for you. He said he always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. Okay? Always. So this is the position that we must start in. Just as the Bible says that there's only one way to get to the Father, he was saying, victory that comes from God comes through me. That's why Jesus told us that if you would ask anything in my name, he would give it you. Okay? This is the strategy for victory. The first part of the strategy, beloved, is for you to understand the power of the name of Jesus. The confidence that you have when you release faith in that name. You shall have whatsoever you say. Okay? I just want you to know that. And we see in Mark 11, it says that you shall have whatever you say. And there have been people that would help us with that and say that you must say it over and over and over again. And I'm not going to get mad about that, because faith does come. But I will tell you that as soon as you say it in faith, that's resolved 100%. He's watching over his word to perform it. He's in a hurry, hastens to perform his word. His word will not return to him void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It will accomplish that which he pleases. If he didn't want you to have it, beloved, he would not have put it in his word. You did not stumble on the promise by accident. God placed it there so that you would find it and that you would draw nigh unto him, and then know that as you draw nigh unto him in that promise, he also draws nigh unto you. Why? Because in order to do what's necessary in your life, he's got to be nigh unto the situation. Okay, I want you to see this and understand this. That's why he's concerned about the things that touch your life. And he said, I'm so concerned about those things, I will perfect those things which concern you. I'm going to work on it all the time, if you would let me. I'm giving you strategies for victory, beloved. A strategy that we have to participate in is an ongoing, active, biblically sound relationship that causes us to go from glory to glory. If you're not moving from glory to glory, then somewhere you have left, departed from the living God. You know, it's interesting to me that we will run into a challenge and then build altars at the place of the challenge that remind us more about the challenge than it does about our God. In the Old Testament, the altars were there. They were altars of remembrance. That you should have your mind, according to what he told us, he said, he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. If you can remember, if you can remember what the word says, that should be your focal point. You do understand, beloved, that in the dispensation that we live in, we can go to the covenant table, we can go to the communion table, and we can remember, Jesus said, when you take this covenant reminder of my blood and my bread, my body, he says you do this in remembrance of me. Glory to God. So you go to the altar, the covenant place of remembrance, and you say, Jesus, I thank you that this is what you did for me. And because you did it, it is mine. You gave it to me. Whatever I bind is bound. What it didn't say was, no, thank you. Just look at the scripture, beloved. He said, this is what I'm giving you. These are the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind is bound. He did not say whatever we bind. Meaning, God, please, you bind this. No, no, no. He said whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you declare illegal is already declared illegal in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, the reason you can bind it on earth is because it is already finished when Jesus, when he died at Calvary, everything that was needed to be done, it was done. When he was raised from the dead, everything that he needed to do so that we can do it was done. That's why he said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Now, therefore, you go. Whatever you bind is bound. It's declared illegal in heaven again. Again, he did this. And he said, now, if you will do it, then I will back that. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It will accomplish that which I please. If God didn't want you to have it, beloved, it would not be in his word. His word has been given to you so that it would be a lamp and a light to the path that you should walk in. There are good works that were preordained that you should walk in them. Come on, beloved, please hear this. He said, this is what you should walk in. We should not walk in defeat. We should walk in victory. Amen. Those are the steps that are ordered for you. Victory is healing the children's bread? Yes, it is. And healing is victory over whatever was a dis-ease. Is that correct? Healing takes care of any dis-ease. So then victory accompanies healing. So these are the things that you should have as your everyday normal path of traverse. That should be a given for you. It's the children's bread, the children's sustenance. Victory is yours. The battle's not ours, the victory is. And unfortunately for us, we have spent too much time fighting and not enough time rejoicing. I mean, just so that we get it, beloved, he said, rejoice in the Lord always.
He said, rejoice always. He did not tell us to fight always. I understand that you have to resist the devil. Got that. But I can resist him. This is the reason that this whole thing came up. I'll try to get back into this. There was a song that I heard, and that song it is a very simple song. The song has these words to it. It says, this is the way I fight my battles. He says that four times. And then he says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Those are all the words in the song, brother. This is the way I fight my battles. This is a place that causes my heart, and it should cause your heart, to enter into peace. This is the way I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but before I can see the things that I think are surrounding me, you already surrounded me. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. This is where we stopped last week. Turn back to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we just want to look at some things. Let me give you, because I'm probably not going to get to all this. Y'all just pray for me. But 2 Kings chapter 6 is one passage of scripture I would like for you to look at with me today. I would like for you to look at Job chapter 38 through chapter 42. Okay? And I'm not going to try to do all that today. Just want to show you some things. Ezekiel chapter 1. I think it's verse 4 and verse 22 and following. We're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 1, Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 34. And then if I can get there, Acts chapter 2. In 2 Kings chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6 at verse 8. This was an account that's to build our faith in the time of battle. Okay? This is a strategy for victory. God knew that you were going to go through things and that you were going to have to fight. He does not want you to beat about the air. He doesn't want you wasting your time not getting to victory. Beloved, if you're going to fight, the Bible says that we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. The only fight that I know that's a good fight is a fight that we win. A fight that I lose, that's not a good fight. Because I was supposed to win. He gives me the victory. Okay, please hear that again. God gives me the victory. He didn't give me the fight. Oh, glory to God. I hope you heard that, beloved. I'm going to have to resist the devil. I'm going to have to do the thing that causes my heart to line up with the word. But God gave me the victory. He did not bring me the fight. Okay, that's just different. We are going after it in a position where we are not going to think about and obtain victory throughout. When I start or engage in a battle, I start from the place of victory. Amen. The reason I start from the place of victory is because I start in the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. The battle is over when I enter into the battle in the name of Jesus. Okay, here is a strategy that we can glean here. In verse 8 and following, it says, then the king of Assyria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God said unto the king of Israel, saying, beware, I love this, beware that thou do not pass such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. I mean, this is just powerful to me, y'all. The devil doesn't have the ability to set up ambushments for you if you would allow your heart to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Look at what happened. It says, the king of Israel warred against Israel. And he took counsel with his servants, and he said, you know what? I think this is a good place. Such and such place will be the place of my camp. And as soon as he said that, the man of God sent to the king of Israel and told him, make sure you don't go down here, because that's where the Syrians are going to come down. He just undid. Look at this. As soon as the thought of the battle came out of the king of Syria's mouth, the answer came to the children of Israel for the man of God. Wow. And then it says that the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him for and warned him of and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, this happened before. So, beloved, if you are in a battle and you found yourself in this battle before, then back up and hear what God says the instructions are for you in the battle. Because he said he was saved from there not once but twice. Therefore, the king, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of show us which is the king of Israel? And none of his servants says, no, it wasn't us that kept telling the king of Israel. But watch this. It says, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. The stuff that you was plotting and planning, it says, God told the prophet that's in Israel. So, okay, beloved, I mean, just so that we can get some things out there, he just told you that part of the strategy for victory is for you to get information from the prophet of God. You should get information from the man of God. You should not be in this battle by yourself. In this battle by yourself, you are taking advantages away from that God gave to you. He gave you a prophet so that you can hear what your enemy is setting up. Amen. So then we'll finish that. So then if you're at a place in a church, glory to God, and you're not getting information that the Holy Ghost gives you, because the Bible says when the Holy Ghost has come, he will show you things to come. Amen. He can show you before the battle gets hot if you would listen at him. Today, if you would hear his voice. See, so that's why it is imperative, beloved, for you to put yourself in a place where the word of God has preeminence and freedom, so that then you will be able to hear what God is telling you before you start crying, oh Lord. Amen. He wants to tell you the thing before it happens. He will show you things to come. Why? So that you can have the ability to take advantage of the advantages he gave you. You are in the world, but not of the world. So then you should not have to go through the things the world goes through. Why should you try to live life the way the world does? And they tell you that you're going to have to experience this, and experience is the best teacher. I would like to submit to you, experience cannot be the best teacher, because you experienced death one time. What did you learn? Nothing that you can lose, because you're dead. No, the Holy Ghost is the best teacher. And since he wants to show you things to come, let's submit our heart to him more and more, and he will gladly do this. The king of Assyria was saying, I'm going to get him, and I'm going to get him in such and such a place. And the prophet of God said, look out, don't go there, because that's the place that the Syrians are going to come down. And the king of Syria got mad and started accusing the people. And they said, no, this ain't a natural fight we got here. This is a spiritual fight, because as soon as you say stuff in secret in your bed chamber, God tells the man of God. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I might see him and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore, he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host. And it came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So one of the things, as you see, I'm giving you an outline, a strategy for victory. One of the strategies is hear from God. The second strategy is fear not. I need for you to circle that, underline that, highlight, put stars and arrows by that. Notice what he did not say. He did not say, try not to fear. He said, fear, do not let it in. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then Elisha prayed for God's eyes, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So, okay, beloved, here is one of those things that you've got to understand right there. What you're looking at, according to this scripture, is not what you should see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us that this light affliction that we deal with, light affliction, first of all, it's but for a moment. And while it's there, it's working for you a far greater and eternal weight of glory. While you look not at the things that are seen, but while you look at the things that are not seen. So the things that are not seen, the things that are seen are temporary, subject to change. But the things that are not seen are deathless and everlasting. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Show him the stuff that's eternal. The stuff that, okay, I love the word eternal. Eternal has to already be there when you go there. Otherwise, it couldn't be eternal. It could not be everlasting life. It would have to be, if it gets there after you get there, it would have to be life from then. It would have to be part of the after. You see what I'm saying? It could not be before. But if eternal means it has to be there upon your request, not upon your knowledge. If it's waiting on you to understand it before it can be engaged, it was not eternal. Okay? If you got to go learn about it, then it wasn't eternal. Okay? It's revealed to you. I get that. But he says the things that are eternal, the things that were already there, Stevie, I'm not going to make a way of escape. I'm going to expose the way that has already been made. Jesus is the way of escape. Okay? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Okay? The name has already been established, and you run into what is established. He didn't say, the name that I will establish will be the strong tower. He says, the name that is, that's eternal. I'm trying to get your understanding that the temporary things that you see, please begin to look for the thing that is eternal, deathless, and everlasting. Then he says, open the eyes of the young man. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. I mean, y'all want to circle that? You don't see until God opens your eyes, beloved. I didn't say what you have is not evident. I'm saying you don't see until the Lord opens your eyes. Because we see dimly through a dark glass. And if we take half of the information and make that an actual forever fact, then we lock ourselves out by what we just saw. But if we would allow God to open our eyes, then we will see the everlasting, eternal truth that will outlive whatever the temporary is. He opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, this is what he saw. Look into what he saw. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wait a minute. First of all, it said that the king had compassed the whole city. Okay? And that's good. That's the way the devil does. He tries to have circumstances, things that are circled around you, standing against you. Circled stances. Encircled standings. Okay? Circumstances. That's where it comes from. But God opened the man's eyes, and he said when he saw, he didn't see what was around him. He saw what was all throughout. It says the mountain was full of horses. It didn't say around the mountain, from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain, from the right hand to the left. That's why the prophet said there'll be more with us than be with them. All they can do is go linearly around you. But God is going to encompass everything about you so that there will be no way that there could be an attack that will enter into your life without going through the protection that God has all about you. Okay, I just want you to know that. See? So when you see, think you're backed up in the corner, glory to God. When you're backed up into a corner, I want you to understand that that corner that God and you are in is bigger than anything that the devil can ever come up with. You need to see that from the spiritual understanding that God brings to you when he opens your eyes. Because there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape. And I heard a man of God say this morning that you heard him say that God makes a way out of no way. But first he has to get you to the place where you understand he also made the no way. Amen. Wherever you are, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So you can't find a place in the earth where God is not and has not made your provision. You can't find that place. But the devil will make you think that you are backed up in the corner. No, if God is in this thing with me, because he makes promises to us, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. See? So then if never means never, and I believe it does, then when I think I'm in a corner, never has to kick in. That means I don't know, sense, or have an awareness now that God is here, but he said never. So then what I need to do is say, okay, Lord, here's my strategy. Open my eyes. Because you want to show me that there is more with me than can be against me. You want to show me that if you are for me, nothing, no one can be against me in you. So I just want you to see that. It says that the mountain was full of horses and chariots. And then I want you to notice again, these chariots, not were just chariots that were standing there. These were chariots of fire. In other words, they had spiritual power. Because chariots, it did not say chariots on fire. It said chariots of fire. That means throughout, everything in the chariot was fire. Okay, so that you can kind of get a concept there. If you had a facility that was consumed in fire, then whatever was there is not going to be able to stay, because as it is consumed in fire, the solidity of it will diminish, but the fire will still be. Oh, that's good, sir. The fire will still be there in the natural. Wow, in the natural, the fire that is consuming the thing will stay as long as the thing is still there. The oxygen or the fuel for the fire is the thing that's on fire. and the fire will stay as long as it has supply from the thing it is consuming. Okay, slow down and get that. These are chariots of fire. So that means everything that they come in contact with, they are going to consume. That is the nature of fire. It consumes everything until the thing is no more. That's when the fire would go out in the natural. But whoa, these are spiritual in their whole makeup. So then they didn't have to have just the ability to consume the thing. They have a command from God to make sure that you are protected. My God, my God. I just want you to see this. This is what happens in every situation. Because God is with you. All right, this is what I want you to see. And we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 1, just so that you can see this. Because the fire is the thing I want you to get. And I'll do it this way. We'll try to go through it. Ezekiel chapter 1. And, Holy Father, what I said last week was when we went to Job, because what I'm going to bring up now, okay, is going to reference that which was spoken about in Job. Keep your finger, keep your place in Ezekiel, and turn to Job, because I want you to see this. Yeah, it's just powerful. Because I said, God says in Psalms 125, as verse 1, it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. So that means he will be always encompassing you. Always. Okay. So that's why the song blessed me, because it says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but before I got surrounded by this trouble, you had already surrounded me. So I am, if you can say it this way, I'm insulated from my surroundings because you surround me. Oh, you might want to write that down. You might want to write that down. I am insulated from my surroundings because I am surrounded by you. Glory to God. I'm trying to get you to understand. Your God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? That he wants everything that's in the fire to look like, reflect, and operate like him. So that if you would submit yourself, he doesn't consume to destroy. He consumes to protect. You are isolated by that which surrounds you. The fire of God is your protection, beloved. Watch this. Surround, because remember, we looked up that whole thing about the mountain, they were encompassed by, and God surrounded the trouble. Okay? And when I think about that, immediately I thought about all of the times when God surrounded, and as he surrounded, and there were whirlwinds, which means that everything encompassed by a wind. Okay? That's a whirlwind. It has a center, yes. And then that center causes it to engulf everything that's in its path. Okay? That's what happens with a whirlwind. In verse 1 of Job 38, watch this. I love this. It says that there were conversations going on. Job and his friends, they were trying to talk about what they understood about the Lord. And that was all good. But when you start talking about God, let me just tell you, God is going to show up. Amen. Verse 1. Says, and then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. So I want you to know, beloved, that as God surrounds you, he wants to talk to you. The Lord answered Job out of the place where he engulfed him, out of the place where he isolated and protected him. God wants to talk to you. When you find yourself in a situation that you don't understand, please know that God has already surrounded you, and now he wants to give you words of direction, words of correction, words of protection. He wants to speak to you. Conversation comes out of God's presence. every time, all of the time. When you look in the book of Genesis, it says that God walked with his man, Adam, and God talked with him. God's presence brings with it conversation, beloved. That's why he says stuff like, beloved, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be without knowledge. Whatever it is, I want to be able to talk to you about it so that I can direct your path out of and away from. I want to, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He causes me to do what? Come on now. He's making me go to a place that's prosperous. He leaves me beside still waters. He doesn't want me to endure agitating passions. God, why? Because he is my shepherd. And that keeps me away from want. If I am in want in my life, it's because I haven't allowed him to shepherd me. Because as the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He will lead me, you see. He will cause me to lie down in green pastures. He takes me to the place of providence because surely goodness and mercy follow me every single day that I can walk anywhere. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel my words without knowledge? Then he says some powerful things right here. He says, gird up now your loins like a man, and I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Whoa. He says, stop thinking like a victim. Stop thinking like this is so, oh, woe is me. He says, no, gird up now your loins and do it like a man. Wow. Because I'm going to give you information, inspiration, correction. I'm going to give you an understanding, and then I'm going to ask you, what did I just say? What should you be doing? So then, okay, go to chapter 40. I mean, as you can read through the rest of it, it's still good, and the things that they were saying. You know, God says, okay, let me go on and straighten you out. And he says, what I want you to do, though, is to hear that there is going to be words from me. All right? And I'm going to ask you. Okay? So when you go to verse chapter 40, verse 1, and we'll go through this. I just want you to see God's going to say the same thing twice. Verse 1, Job 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that condemneth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, this is why I say what I'm saying. I'm violent. And what should I say? How can I say it correctly? Once I've spoken, I will not answer yea twice. I will proceed no further. And then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, do it straight, gird up your loins, and do it like a man, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou disannul my judgment? Will you throw away what I've said? Will you condemn with me that you can be right? He goes on and asks these things, and then he says, now, hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck now thyself. Listen to this. He tells him, get dressed. Gird up your loins like a man. And put on, look, he says, deck now thyself with majesty and excellency. And array thyself with glory and beauty. Oh, my God. Did you hear the invitation of God to us to say, please get dressed correctly? Don't keep coming at me as if you don't have a right to talk to me. That's why it says in Philippians chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be active in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he didn't make himself of a reputation. See, that's what he's asking. He says, deck yourself now. And what should you put on? Should you put on this fake humility? No, he says, with majesty and excellency. And array yourself with glory and beauty. Take away from you, cast off your rage and your wrath. Wow. And behold, everyone that is proud. I don't want you to think about the proud people that have said things about me that were not right. Look on everyone that's proud as they can lower your thinking and your understanding. Tear them down in their wicked place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in secret. He says, and when you do this, then I will confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save you. I'll tell you how to function in my excellency that I just told you to get dressed in. I'll show you how to do it. But you've been trying to do it in your own strength. And then he goes on and delineates things, and I hadn't caught it before. He starts talking about the behemoth, the big things in your life. He starts talking about Leviathan, the pride that's in your life. And then he says, kill him. He says things that he will uncover him. That just blew me away. I will not let him hide anymore. See? These are the things he wants us to get to. Go to chapter 41. He's going to tell you in this, just so that you can see it. Like I said, read the whole thing and understand what God is giving us here. He goes on to talk about, he asked the first question in verse 1. He said, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? So he's talking about pride. At the end of this chapter, he's going to talk, he's king of the children of pride. So he's definitely giving us understanding of how we got into trouble and how to get out. Watch this. Read from verse. Verse 10 and following. He's talking about the Leviathan. Says, none is so fierce that you won't stir him up. You're not able to stand before him. Who has prevented me that I should not have to repay Leviathan? Wow. Look at this. He says, whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I made, in Isaiah chapter 54, he said, I made the smith to blow out, to make the fire and the coals. I made the smith. I made the blacksmith. I take care of him. And here he says, I'm going to show you something. Watch this. Yeah. Wow. It says in verse 12, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. I'm going to expose his parts, his power, and what you think is so good about him. I'm going to open it up. If you would allow me, I will show you how you can deal with him. See, and he goes on and describes him to let us know, this ain't no easy cakewalk here. You entered into a whole other dimension. He described the behemoth. Okay? But if he gives us the victory, beloved, then is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. These are strategies that you can use for victory. Knowing whose you are, knowing who you are, and looking at the things because God is surrounding you. Okay? Going back to that, again, I'm not asking you to engage if you don't understand your warfare. I'm not asking you to engage if you have no confidence in the Lord in whom you say you trust. No. Don't do that. He told you over and over and over in this passage of scripture. He says, no, you don't want to do that. Leave him alone. Because he's got armor. His armor is so tight, you can't even get no air in there. Okay? So I understand that. But I'm trying to get you to see that you have the ability to enter into a given victory instead of a practiced victory. He always causes us a triumph. He gives us the victory. Didn't say I have to fight, engage in a way that I think I can win. I can simply follow what Jesus did, and victory is guaranteed. That's what I'm trying to get us to do. Now I'll go to Ezekiel chapter 1, because I want you to see some things in the next few minutes here. That God's going to encompass you. Boy, I mean, if I can just get you to have an imagery of this. God is going to encompass you. In verse 4, it's going to say some things that we're going to hear about the whirlwind that encompassed, circled all the way around us. And I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, in and out of the midst thereof, as the color amber, out of the midst of the fire. Then he goes on to give us some revelations that are in there. Drop down to verse 27. And again, he said, I saw the color of amber. So I'm picking up from right there when he said that, okay? And the appearance of fire round about and within. From its appearance of its loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it was the appearance of fire. So he just said, from the loins up and from the loins down, from the waist up and from the waist down, he was fire. And its brightness round about it. And as the appearance of the bull in its cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And notice what happened. And I heard a voice. So when you see the fire, okay, when you see the fire, you should expect, when you see that you are encased, surrounded by, protected by, insulated by, when you understand that your enemy can't get to you because you are protected. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and righteous people are safe on the inside. When you understand that, then the next thing you should do is not begin to cry. Oh, goodness gracious, I hadn't seen this, y'all. Notice it says that when I get to the place that I submit to being protected, there was a voice that came to me. That's why I love that song. It says, when it looks like I'm surrounded by you. I'm in a place that this is the way I fight my battles. I fight my battles from the place of peace. Because if I know that my God is fighting for me and I don't have to fight in this battle, then I simply am in peace, aren't I? Because you can't be God. Go ahead and fight. I tell you what, devil, when you get through with God, come on to me. If you can get through all that stuff that God has, because he made you, he knows everything about you. When you can get through that, you can come deal with me. See, that's a place that of safety there. And that's what happens. But notice, every time we see this fire that encompasses, there was conversation. Chapter 2. And I never put this together. Acts chapter 2. See, because we are not accustomed to experiencing God because of the fire of God. Watch this. Acts chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Just so that we understand. Every time we have seen the analogy of fire, it encompassed, surrounded everything. It didn't, when you see in your mind's eye, when it says cloven tongues of fire, we have this little image of a big lighter, and we see a little bitty flame. No, it just told us that God, the way he was described is, from the loins up and from the loins down, he was fire. And if you see fire from that 9 feet tall, you're going to see flames jumping out of it. Those are the cloven tongues of fire. They are connected to the source of fire. So when it said that this fire set upon them, it means that they were engulfed in the fire. The same way that the bush, when Moses finally got to go talk to God, he was a bush that was not consumed, and the fire was all over the bush. This is the way God does it. He protects in fire. He doesn't consume and destroy in fire. So when the fire set upon each of them, they were, okay, let's do it this way. Let's try it this way. If I set water on something, everything that the water is on will be under the water. Is that correct? If I could take the water outside of a container, everything that I would put that water on would be under the water. Is that correct? If you had a way to contain water without a container, then when the water came upon someone, it would cover them. The same way the Spirit of God did, he came and set or engulfed each of them. And as he did, watch this, whenever you see this fire, out of the fire comes conversation. He set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and conversation began to happen. Wow. So, beloved, I'm trying to get you to see a strategy for victory is to allow the fire of God to encompass, engulf you, and hear the conversation. And notice what happened here. Glory to God. It changed what came out of their mouth. Oh, I hope you heard that. They were no longer talking about problems. They were talking by the Spirit of God. Amen. Just like what happened, just like what happened when God came into a place and they asked this question and they said, is Elijah among the prophets? They asked the question. Why did they ask that question? Because Moses among the prophets? Because when God came, a conversation came, and it was a different conversation. It was a spiritual conversation. He prophesied. That's exactly what happened here. The fire of God, the place, let's even go there, the place of holy conversation. I can say that. As soon as the fire came and Moses was there, he told Moses, Moses, take off your shoes because we're going to have holy conversation on this holy ground. So then we can say that when you allow God to encompass you, you can have holy conversation. You won't be talking about problems and situations. You'll be getting answers by the Spirit of the living God. Watch what they did. I hadn't thought about that, sir. After these conversations, they had new directions for the church. Because until that day, the church was hiding. But after that day, the church came out with power. Glory to God. I hope you see this. See, God is going to encompass you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm already surrendered. Therefore, because I surrender to God, I'm surrounded by him. And if I would allow this to be a holy place of communication, he will give me strategies for victory. Because out of this path, right here, the next thing you hear, and 5,000 people were added to the church. The church began to, come on now, the church began to multiply. And it began to multiply on a day-by-day basis. Glory to God. Some of you are engaging in ministry, and you haven't been able to see the growth that you want. Well, allow the Spirit of God to encompass you so that you can hear strategies for victory. He says, get your mind dressed up like a man. Talk like a man. Stop talking like a victim. Dress yourself in majesty, in honor, in excellence. Glory to God. See, if we would begin to do this, beloved, then we would begin to turn again the world that we are in upside right. Because that's exactly what happened after the day of Pentecost was come, and God was able to engulf each one of them. They turned the world upside right. They began to speak boldly in the name of Jesus. And God began to work with them. With signs following in manifestation that they had never seen before. Peter would say stuff, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I do have, get up and walk. And a man that was born in the situation, he never thought about, he was able to leap and praise God. They tried to arrest Peter, and the angel of the Lord came and released him. And the gate that they locked him up in, the prison that they locked him up in, the Bible says that the gate opened itself. It opened of its own accord. How did these supernatural manifestations start happening? Because they stopped thinking like, acting like, talking like mere men, and they began to talk with heavenly understanding and foretelling. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Beloved, it is time for us to again let the fire of God speak to us so that we can speak from that holy place of conversation. What thus saith the Spirit of the living God. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for displaying your power throughout the Old Testament. To know that when we feel like it looks like we're surrounded, that you have already put us in the place of protection, in the place of holy conversation, so that we would then speak from the position of power, not of our power, but of your power that should be displayed in this earth, Father. So we thank you for that glory that you have crowned us with, that glory that has filled us so that we can release it in this earth, in this time. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it. Committing it to you is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks, let's get ready. We're going to open up lines for commentary on tonight's teaching, starting with area code 714.
Hey, brothers, how's it going?
Amen.
Shalom. How's it going, brother?
It's good.
I definitely enjoyed the teaching, and definitely girding up my loins like a man is definitely something that I need to do. I mean, I definitely saw that today.
Yeah. Wow. And as we grow and operate as a man and not mere men, I mean, we give witness that Jesus is alive. That's what the power that we've been lacking to be able to correct situations and circumstances and get them turned around so that people will go and say, wait a minute, we took notice. They took notice that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They should take notice that we have been with Jesus.
Definitely, that's definitely true. I mean, Love you guys. I enjoyed it.
Amen. Love you.
Amen.
Again, thank you for being here with me. Hallelujah.
All right. Area code 845.
Hallelujah. Welcome.
Well, amen, amen, brothers.
Amen. Amen.
God
is good.
Amen, brother. God is very, very good. Where to start, brother? I could say that you really caught my attention when you started reading out the book of Job. That's always been one of my favorite books in the Bible. I mean,
okay.
Just for its wording, for its wisdom, and it's a. It's mystery. It's like hidden revelation that it has. I mean, mm-hmm. the whole Bible obviously definitely has mystery
sure.
in it. But that passes when God is speaking to Job, and he basically tells him just to gird up his loins. Job was very old at that time, though, right?
True. That's true. He wasn't a young boy.
I'm a lot younger than Joe, but
right.
but I've read that passage many a time, and I kind of like I kind of put it towards me too. Just times when I'm acting childish and just like I just try to. Use it, and just
mm-hmm.
try to, I guess, lift myself up in an encouraging way.
Mm-hmm.
Not to like bring condemnation on myself, but like motivation, to lift me up
mm-hmm.
and to maybe, to get on that level, so to speak,
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Because you're right. People should take notice that we are walking with Jesus Christ if we are walking
right.
with Jesus Christ,
right?
Right? People should notice
right.
the word in us. So, I mean, brother, it's encouraging, brother. Every single word, all of your teachings always make me think and get me motivated to actually read more. To study.
Okay.
Just by the way the Holy Spirit works in you. So it's definitely a motivation, brother, to, as a Christian brother, to just keep on striving for it, keep on pressing in as Paul always says, press.
Yeah.
No matter what it looks like, just keep pressing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Okay, I'll do that. If we don't keep pressing, then
yeah.
we're probably letting happen what happened in Hebrews chapter 2. We let a promise slip. And that's not a good thing to let a promise slip, because now we can't enter in because we don't have the faith that God gave us. We let it be given away, slip. Okay, so that's what we have to press. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay.
That's right.
We should give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let a promise slip. Okay? Let's just go over there, flip over there right quick, and just read that.
Hebrews chapter 2.
Verse 1 and 2.
That's right.
Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if a word spoken by angels are steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we just don't press? We just let the word slip. He didn't mean that for me. He didn't mean that for today. Yeah, it did. That's why he spoke it today. So we
That's
can't
right.
do that. We've got to grow up. Gird up the loins. Be like a man. Amen.
That's right, brother. You're right, brother. It gets to that point, brother. I guess where we all gotta go from children to men.
Correct. And it's so easy. All we gotta do is follow. And
just follow.
Like a child. Yeah, he didn't say become a man in your own thinking. You know, again, Jesus said some interesting things to us in John chapter 1. Yeah. He said, to those that believe, to them he gave the power to become sons. So then if he had to give us the power to become sons, just so I can understand scripture, if he had to give me the power to become sons, that means I can't become a son on my own. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to give me the power. Huh?
That's right. He had to give it to me.
He would have to give it to me. So then I'm going to just go ahead and remain as a child, but as a child that functions from a perspective of heaven that says, I'm going to put on my clothes and get dressed like a man. See, I mean, it's just, those are mysteries, brother. Those are mysteries.
Those are definitely mysteries, brother. I was just thinking
something like a man.
Yeah. It's like he say the total difference. It's like it's almost as if it's contrary to everything that he says. But
correct.
It's not. It's
correct.
Just it's in the spirit
right.
that it's so different because we're not used to that.
We're not used to
it. You're right, brother.
Hallelujah. Thanks again for listening. Love you, brother. Be blessed.
Every time, brother. Every
Amen.
Time, brother. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Shalom, guys.
Love you too. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. That does appear to be the end of our call list for tonight. Pastor Steve, would
yeah.
you like to say anything else before
just,
we get
just,
ready
like
to
I
close?
Say, I just would love for us to begin to really take the things to heart and grow up in the Spirit. Just grow up in the Spirit, because God is not going to leave us. He's not going to cause us to be defeated. He will not cause us to be confounded. See? So we can then grow in Him and enjoy the victory that He's already given us. That's my only encouragement, beloved, and we'll see you next time. Shalom. So you can go ahead and close the mic.
Amen. Shalom, everyone. If it's the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Have a good night.
Oh. Army of the Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and the Spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm rising up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father declare all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, my hope is in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about You. How the world changed and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls trying to stay pure, but who will teach them when the holy ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You.